بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn more and more about the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Really, we never stop learning. Sahaba's lives are so interesting. Sahaba's lives are so amazing. Every Sahabi has so much of benefit, you know, in learning from their lives. There's so many aspects we can learn from them. As we continue the discussion of Ali radiallahu anhu, there's so many beautiful incidents about his life that we can learn from. There's one incident known as a garment he purchases for 3 dirhams. This is reported in Muntakhab al-Kanz, where Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the ruler of Kufa during his khilafah, Ali radiallahu anhu was the 4th khilafah, khalifa of the Muslim world. This was Allah Ta'ala's system. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu first, then Umar radiallahu anhu, then Uthman radiallahu anhu, and then Ali radiallahu anhu, and this was their ranking. So one day he goes to purchase something from the market, and he had a worry that people mustn't give him a better price, him being Amir al-Mu'mineen. He didn't want his position to actually make him benefit from people's dunya. So he goes to a certain person. When he realized that that person recognized him, he didn't purchase that kurta. Then he goes to another, and then he goes to another. Finally he reaches a person who doesn't recognize him. يَنْتَقِلُ مِنْ بَائِعٍ إِلَىٰ آخَرٍ, until he comes to a youngster who was naive and he didn't understand. So he purchased from him a kurta, a qamis, for 3 dirham. He wore it, and you know, it was right to reach his sleeves, and then it reached, you know, his just above his ankles, and then he purchases it, he pays 3 dirhams. Someone then says to the owner of that business that your son sold a kurta to Amir al-Mu'mineen at an exorbitant price, 3 dirhams. Why didn't you charge him a better price, 2 dirhams? That's the value of it. So this man took a dirham and rushed to Ali radiallahu anhu. He says, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, please take back this dirham, it belongs to you." Ali radiallahu anhu, in utter consternation, says that, "What do you mean? It doesn't belong to me." The man says that you purchased this dirham that was valued at this kurta that was valued at 2 dirhams, and my son mistakenly sold it to you for 3. Ali radiallahu anhu smiled and said that he sold it to me happily at 3 dirhams, and I bought it happily. Ibnuk ba'ani al-qamis bi-ridaya wa ishtaraytuhu minhu bi-ridah. He sold it happily, I purchased it happily, and that was our deal. I bought his happiness, he purchased my happiness, and that was what made our deal successful. So he did not take the dirham from this person. So also from here we learn that Allah has given us deen, and we must not utilize the deen to acquire dunya. Allah will bless us. The deen has its own barakat. That's why we learn in Jamaat such a beautiful, you know, teaching. That even when you're out in Allah Ta'ala's way, you know, our brothers, how beautifully they'll go to an area and they won't ask the people for anything. They will go and spend on the people. And if anything comes from the brothers, from the people, if we make ikram of the Jamaat, that is our blessing. Even they'll go to a shop and they won't first make the tashkeel or encourage this person to come to the masjid. First they'll buy what they need after they paid. Then they'll say, "You know what, a Jamaat has come to the masjid and please join us later." Because they don't want this person now to feel obliged to give them what they have taken for free. And where they learn this from? The beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there's so many incidents like this in the life of Ali radiallahu anhu. Another beautiful incident is regarding his justice. He was the ruler in Kufa, and he finds his armor by another Jewish resident of Kufa. So he says to the man that, "This belongs to me, this sign is on here, it belongs to me." This man says, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have no right to say that. It's in my possession, I own it, you know." So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Let's take the matter to the Qadi." And the Qadi was Qadi Shuraih, a very, very famous Qadi at that time. This Qadi was the Qadi of Kufa under the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu. Then he remained the Qadi, the judge of that region under Uthman radiallahu anhu, and under Ali radiallahu anhu, and he continued remaining qadi of that region right till the rulership, the governorship of Hajjaj bin Yusuf over that region. He was a great judge in the Muslim lands. So this is Amirul Mu'mineen's qadi. Just to show you how just was Shuraykh qadi, was one day his son brings a case to him, a matter. At night, so his son asks him, "Father, took me off. This is a matter between me and another brother. Should I bring it to court? Just tell me, will I win the case?" The father says, "Son, I advise you, bring it to court." So the son felt that my father is sincerely saying, "Bring it, because I'm going to win the case." The next day when the case is brought before the qadi passes his decision, his verdict was against his own son. That night his son was upset. "Oh my father, if I hadn't asked you for advice, I would understand. But yeah, I asked your opinion, I asked your advice, and you still passed your verdict against me in court. Oh my son, if I had told you not to bring your matter to court, I was worried that you would devour another person's right. That's why I advised you sincerely, oh my son." So this was the justice of Qadi Shuraih. Now, Qadi Shuraih is the student of Ali radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So the matter is brought before him. So Ali radiallahu anhu sits next to his opponent before the Qadi, and the Qadi now asks for proof. The system in Islam is, if you have a claim, you have to bring proof. And if the item is in your position, you can win the case by just presenting an oath. You don't have to have proof because the item is in your possession. Like, there's one beautiful incident. It's similar to humor, something humorous, where there was a non-Muslim, he was a Hindu. So he had this bird, and he would teach the bird all the time, you know, "Bol Ram Ram, Bol Ram Ram." One day this bird flew away, and one Muslim fed the bird, and the bird sat onto his shoulder, and he took the bird home, thinking that this is a lost bird, and I can take care of it. He would feed the bird, and whenever the bird would say, it was a parrot, "A babagha, bol ram ram," this Muslim brother would say, "Kambakht bol la ilaha illallah, kambakht bol la ilaha illallah, you fool, say la ilaha illallah, not ram ram, say la ilaha illallah." So one day, the Hindu sees this Muslim with this bird, and now he says, "Come, this is my bird." So the matter was taken to the Qadi. The judge now asks the Hindu for his proof. So he takes the bird, and he says to it, "Say Ram Ram." The bird says, "Kambakht bo la ilaha illallah." Anyway, that was something, to learn from, but it's just something of humor. In this case now, Ali radiallahu anhu is asked for proof and for witnesses that what's your proof that this is your, coat of mail. So he says that I have witnesses that I've purchased this and it belonged to me. It's a very, very valuable set. Who's your witness? He says, "My son Hassan radiallahu anhu knows this well and my slave Qumbur." So the Qadi says, "I'm afraid Amir al-Mu'mineen, we cannot accept your son's judgment in your favor." He says, "But he's the leader of the youth of Jannah." "But O Amir al-Mu'mineen, we learn from you that one son cannot stand witness for him. And that's the decision." And this Jew won the case. And as they're coming out of the court, this Jew was shocked. He couldn't believe it. He said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah." That's what happened. He said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen takes me to his qadi in a court case, and I win the case." He says, "I can't believe it. This is only in Islam. This is only in Islam." He says, "It is your coat of mail, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. It fell from your conveyance as you were going towards Siffin." Ali radiallahu anhu says, "You made me happier than even this armor and this coat of mail. Take it. You have become Muslim. That makes me happier." Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah give us justice. Allah give us justice. Allah says in Quran, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qisti shuhadaa lillah, walau ala anfusikum, O people of Iman." Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, stand up for justice. Kunu qawwamina bil qisp. Allah wants you to stand up for justice. Bear testimony for Allah, even though your judgment and your decision be against yourself, or against your parents, or against your children. That is Islam. This is what Islam teaches us. That a man cannot defend his child because this is my child. A man has to defend someone else who is right against his own parent or child, against himself also. This is the beautiful teaching of our Islam. When Aisha radiallahu anha was falsely accused of adultery, na'udhu billah, gee, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was asked, he says, how can I stand up and bear testimony when I do not have knowledge of the unseen? How much I want to stand up for my daughter, but how can I say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, which sky of Allah will shelter me? Ayyu sama'in tudhilluni. Which earth of Allah will contain me? If I say something that I don't know from the unseen, look at Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They taught us, don't jump to conclusions just because of our family. This is Islam. That if the non-Muslim is right, we have to stand with him. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq to learn from New Zealand. Allah bless the people of New Zealand. Allah Ta'ala bring more and more people to Islam. And Allah give us tawfiq. Our Muslims portrayed such akhlaq and character. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah give us justice. That one interviewer says that I have not been inspired by anyone in my life like this mother who lost her son and her husband. And when she was asked, she says, what keeps you strong? Is it your faith? She says, it's only my faith that keeps me strong. This person says that I have never been inspired by anyone in my life like this woman has inspired me. Allah give us tawfiq also to be an inspiration to humanity. Let's aspire to inspire before we expire. How wise was Ali radiallahu anhu? There's a beautiful incident where during his reign of Kufa, there were two friends who were traveling together, and one had carried, they stopped for lunch, for a break. Then as Muslims, they said, let's share. They were new Muslims. Alhamdulillah, they were learning from Islam, so they said, let's share our meals. So the one had 5 rotis, carried along, and the other's wife sent with him 3 rotis. So they sit together and they are breaking the, you know, about to break, you know, the bread and take Allah's name. And there was a brother who was passing. So as with etiquette, they said, brother, join us. So the 3 of them sit to have this meal, 8 rotis, and the 3 of them share. And the report says they shared it equally. And as they had this meal, each of them ate, this third brother was so impressed and so happy. He appreciated, you know, their kindness, and he gave them a gift of 8 dirhams, and he left and he took leave. So the two now, first of all, at first they were traveling very, very happily, but now when dunya came into the equation, the argument started. The one who had 5 dirham rotis said that my due is 5 dirhams. The other said, no, even though I brought 3 rotis, but this man was fair with and kind to both of us, he meant share it equally. Now they're not prepared to accept. The one is saying, I must have 5. The other says, I must have 4. They're not coming to a conclusion. They said, okay, we are Muslims, let's go for justice. Who's going to give us justice? The Amir. Kufa, we are on our way. Let's meet Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu, and he will guide us. So Ali radiallahu anhu, after hearing the entire case, he says to the brother who had brought 3 rotis, this brother is prepared to give you 3 dirhams, take it. He says, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, that's unfair. I want justice, even though it may be better. وَلَوْ بِمُرِّ الْحَقِّ. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you want justice, then your share is actually 1 dirham. So he says, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, please explain to me. So Amir al-Mu'mineen explains that, see, you brought 3 rotis, he brought 5 rotis, and you all ate equally. So 3 rotis become 9 pieces. Because each piece you all broke, and you all shared everything equally. He brought 5 rotis, and 5 rotis make 15 pieces. So 15 plus 8 becomes 24 pieces. And 24 pieces each of you eat equally. So each one eats 9 pieces. Each one partakes of 8 pieces. So you have now, you brought 9 pieces, and you ate 8 of those pieces. One was left for the guest. He brought 15 pieces, and of which he partook of 8, and the remaining 7 was left for the guest. This man was shocked at the intelligence of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he did
accept happily after that. Anyway, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were genius. They were masters. And this was the geniusness of Ali radiallahu anhu, his wit and his wisdom. Ali radiallahu anhu's reign, from the beginning, there were a lot of challenges. It was a time where there were a lot of trials and tribulations. And ulama explain it in this way, that why so many trials took place during Ali radiallahu anhu's reign. And how they explain it was, is that Islam and Deen spread so perfectly and calmly during the reign of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman radiallahu anhum. But towards the end of Uthman radiallahu anhu's reign, there were some turmoil. And Ali radiallahu anhu's entire reign, there were a lot of trials and tribulations. And this shows that whatever will happen in the world afterwards, we learn guidance from the four Khulafa Rashideen, how to face every situation. So how to face fitan, we learn during the reign of Ali radiallahu anhu. Among the challenges that took place was the matter of a group called Khawarij. There was a group that joined Ali radiallahu anhu, but they were an extremist group. Now, during one battle, they had then turned against Ali radiallahu anhu. Because they told Ali radiallahu anhu to do something, to stop the fight in Siffin. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, no, we have to end off the fitna. But they insisted on him. So Ali radiallahu anhu succumbed, but he felt bad that him being the ruler, his decision was not abided by. On his return to Kufa, there was something called arbitration. So Ali radiallahu anhu agreed to stop bloodshed in the Ummah. So even though there was a time of bloodshed, but at that time, the Roman Emperor tries to capitalize on this disunity that was taking place. So he writes to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu saying that there's some, you know, contention between you and Ali radiallahu anhu. Come join me and together we will destroy and eradicate Ali radiallahu anhu. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he knew that he was standing for his understanding. He was standing up for what he saw to be truth. He was fighting and trying to search for those who assassinated Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he realized that this Roman ruler was trying to capitalize. So he writes to him that, O Roman dog, you trying to capitalize the situation between me and my cousin Ali radiallahu anhu. I warn you, if you march towards us, or you come any more closer towards us, I will come in the head of his army, my cousin Ali radiallahu anhu's army, and we will eradicate you. This was how Sahaba radiallahu anhu understood. They stood up for what they believed was right. And when Sahaba radiallahu anhu were told about anything, and they saw truth in that, they were the first to accept it. Anyway, this group turned against Ali radiallahu anhu. They were known as Khawarij. Now this is years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is 37 Hijri. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of this group. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied so many of these incidents that will happen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْرُجُونَ عَلَى خَيْرِ فِرْقَ. From the groups of my ummah at that time, this group will come out, you know, amongst the best group. And that was, they came out from Ali radiallahu anhu's men. So Ali radiallahu anhu tried to, you know, dialogue with them, ask them that what is the matter? Why are you upset? Why are you leaving me? They said that, you know, they made a lot of altercations and a lot of, you know, decisions against Ali radiallahu anhu. That why did you accept the arbitration? So he said, to stop the ummah from bloodshed. So they said, how can you make men decide in regard to these matters when in al-hukmu illa lillah, Allah is supposed to decide. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, you people read Qur'an, yes. So in the masjid of Kufa, he brought a big mushaf of the Qur'an. Then he addresses the Qur'an, Qur'an speak. So they're saying, what you mean? He says, you all are saying, make the Qur'an talk. So he says, I'm explaining to you all that actually the men of the Qur'an, we the Sahaba, will deduce the verdict from the Qur'an and explain what should be done. Ali radiallahu anhu explained to them. He sent Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu comes to them because they had left Kufa. They had moved into another area called Harura. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, that's a great Sahabi. He comes to them. He says, I have come to meet you and I speak to you. I have come and I have been sent by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I don't see one Sahabi amongst you. He says this to them. Not one Sahabi amongst you. Allahu Akbar. And they were dressed very, very shabbily. And they were busy in tilawat of the Quran. So now they started mocking Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, no, I came to speak to you and I'll prove to you from Quran. Will you listen to me from Quran and the Sunnah? So some said they'll accept. And others said, no, we don't want to speak to you. Balhum qawmun khasimun. Allah speaks about people like you who just argue. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to these people when he said, these people will come and they will falsely interpret the Quran. A verse in regards to the mushrikeen and the idol worshippers. They are fitting that verse on Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, the greatest scholar of this ummah. Anyway, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, what do you all hold against Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu? And they presented their issues. So he answered them every aspect from the Qur'an al-Kareem. So beautifully he answered them, so clearly he answered them, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So even when they were not prepared to accept Ali radiallahu anhu, he still showed kindness and he showed, you know, big-heartedness, wherein he said, okay, we will still accept you as part of the ummah. Now imagine they're not accepting him as Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he still welcomes them. He still didn't chase them away. And he said, okay, you'll be allowed to, you know, utilize the bazaar, the market, and you will still get your share of the booty that the ummah gets. You can still come to the masjid. But he said to them, don't transgress the bounds. Because he knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such people will come, but they will have extremism in them. So Ali radiallahu anhu warned them. Until a time came where they started to actually portray their true colors. But as I explained earlier, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu described how they worshipped Allah so profusely. And this is reminiscent of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these people will come. يَحْقِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ صَلَاتَهُ مَعَ صَلَاتِهِمْ. That when you see how you perform salah, and how they perform salah, you'll think your salah is minimal in comparison to theirs. They will make so much of tilawat, and they will make so much of ibadat, but they will come out of the deen. They will come out of the deen like how an arrow penetrates the animal, going right through without any remnant of that animal on that arrow, whether the shaft or the steel or the feather. It penetrates right through. This is what happens to them, that they recite the Quran, but it doesn't permeate their hearts. This was their condition. And they had this quality of extremism in them. And exactly as Rasulullah ﷺ described them. One day they see a Sahabi walking past, Abdullah bin Khabbab radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi's son, Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu. Anyway, they interrogated him. He was passing with his, you know, female slave, or for our understanding, with his wife who was pregnant. And they started interrogating the Sahabi. They asked him a few questions. And a question they would ask everybody was, what do you say about the arbitration of Ali radiallahu anhu? And what do you say, you know, they asked him about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. Anyway, they asked him about Ali radiallahu anhu, and he praised Ali radiallahu anhu, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. And they were very, very upset about that. How can you, don't you accept that he was kafir? They even wanted Ali radiallahu anhu to accept that he is kafir. And this is their extremist belief, that any sin you perpetrate makes you a kafir. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned of such people. That's why, my respected listeners, in different times of the world, what they did to Abdullah bin Khabbab radiallahu anhu, they actually then took him, and as they going past, they were torturing the Sahabi. And as they're asking him questions, they torturing him limb by limb. They're torturing him limb by limb. To such an extent that they actually saw one pig and they killed the pig. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu says to them, that because then an argument broke about. The one says, how can you kill the pig? Because it belongs to a Christian and it's permissible for them. Then another picked up a date and ate it. The other says, how can you pick up the date and eat? You know, it belongs to this person's farm. And then they actually go to this person and they ask him, can we purchase this tree? So Abdullah bin Khabbab is explaining to them that this is you legalize killing me, a Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a believer, and you deem it impermissible to kill this pig or to eat the date? What is your understanding? Then they actually tortured the Sahabi to death, cutting him limb by limb. Cutting him limb by limb. Allah. Then they said to this Christian, we want to purchase this tree from you. So he says, but I don't understand your religiousness. You kill, you know, an innocent man, and then you want to pay for this. They said to him, no, take it. This Christian, the non-Muslim, says to them, take it. They say, no, it's not permissible. We have to pay you for it. This is how this extremist group have this misunderstanding. That's why so dangerous are those people who incorrectly take the deen from wrong sources. Be careful of this, my respected listeners. These incorrect sources through which we trying to learn the deen of Allah will mislead us. There's a method, there's a rasta, there's a link, there's a chain from which we draw, from which we learn, from which we acquire the beautiful deen of Allah, my respected listeners. Imagine it was the same group, who actually said Ali radiallahu anhu is kafir. Then they gather together and they're thinking, let's get close to Allah by killing three people. And they plotted to kill three of the greatest people of that time. Number one, namely Ali radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman bin Mujim says, I will take on that task. Number two, Burak Tamimi says, I'll go for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in Damascus. And number three, Amr bin Bakr Tamimi says, I'll go for Amr bin As radiallahu anhu in Egypt. And they plotted their scheme that on the 17th of Ramadan, we'll carry out this task. And what happened was, the man going for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, spotted him. And, you know, defended himself, and he didn't manage to assassinate this great Sahabi Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, but he injured him badly, where Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was then diagnosed. And he was, you know, told by the physician that, you know, I can go put you through cauterization, or I will give you this medication that will sterilize you. So he said, leave the cauterization, I'd rather go through sterilization. But he was warned that then you won't be able to have children anymore. But anyway, he said, I have Yazid, I have my son, it's fine, I'll go through this method. Anyway, that day, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was ill, and his, you know, deputy, the superintendent, Kharija, came out for imamat, and he was killed. And this man follows Ali radiallahu anhu. His name is Abdurrahman bin Muljim. And Ali radiallahu anhu showed kindness to him. Ali radiallahu anhu had seen him before. Ali radiallahu anhu spotted him. It's mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba under the chapter of being happy with Allah's decree. This man actually was threatening Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I know this man who's going to actually kill me. So they're telling him, why don't you kill him? He says, no, how can I, you know, kill him and take him to task without him doing anything yet? And Ali radiallahu anhu knew that Allah's will come to pass. It is Allah Ta'ala's decree. This was his conviction in Allah Ta'ala. Abu Tufail Amir bin Wasila radiallahu anhu. He was the last Sahabi to live on the face of this earth. He said, I was sitting by Ali radiallahu anhu when Abdurrahman bin Muljim comes there. So Ali radiallahu anhu gave him his rations, and then Ali radiallahu anhu said, the one who's most wretched, Ashqaha, what stops him from actually smearing this entire beard of mine in blood, meaning striking me on the head and the beard becoming smeared in blood? And then Ali radiallahu anhu pointed to his beard, and then Ali radiallahu anhu said, أشدد حيازيمك للموت فإن الموت آتيكا ولا تجزع من القتل إذا حل بواديكا. He would render this, you know, that prepare yourself for death, because death inevitably has to come. Don't fear being killed when it comes your way. You know, embrace it. When being killed in Allah's way comes your way, then embrace it happily. Then Ali radiallahu anhu, when he would see Ibn Muljim, look at his foresight, he would say, أريد حباءه ويريد قتلي عذيرك من خليلك من مرادي. I want to be kind to him, but he wants to kill me. Pardon me. Pardon this friend from the Murad tribe. You know? عذيرك من خليلك من مرادي. And this Murad is the tribe of Ibn Muljim. That was his tribe. So Ali radiallahu anhu was actually, you know, he knew from beforehand. And
that this person is going to be coming. So they asked him that, why don't you, you know, sort him out before that? He said, no, how can I without proof? But he knew he's going to pass away. He knew that he's going to be killed because Rasulullah ﷺ told him. Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, do you know, O Ali radiallahu anhu, the most wretched of the past people was the man who hamstrung the camel of Salih alayhi salam. For a woman he did so. This woman enticed him. And just to gain this pleasure, you know, this worldly pleasure with a woman, he actually disobeyed Allah, defied Allah, and hamstrung the camel with his team. And then, O Ali, from the coming nations, who will be the most wretched? The one who will strike you and smear your entire beard with blood. So Ali radiallahu anhu knew it. But this was his kindness. He didn't want to take a man to task. So he was going, waking up everyone for Fajr. And as he was waking up for everyone for Fajr, awakening everybody, you know, he finally gets to the masjid. And just there, Abdurrahman bin Muljim comes and strikes Ali radiallahu anhu so severely on his head with that poisonous spear. And it, you know, smears his entire beard in blood. Ali radiallahu anhu screams out, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba, I have triumphed, I have won. Allahu Akbar. This was victory for him. This was victory for him. And he was badly wounded. They're hoping for cure for him. You know, such conviction he had. He knew one day he was ill, a long ago before this. So he told him, don't worry, I'm not going to die now. When I die, it will actually be my entire beard will be smeared in blood, because my Nabi told me that I'll be stuck on my head and it will smear my entire beard in blood. In the report of guns with a you know, strong chain of report. So as Ali radiallahu anhu was in this condition, they asked him, what do we do with this person? So he said that if I live, I'll decide, you know. But if I die, then you all carry out the qisas. As they were torturing him, trying to find out why he did such a thing, then they, you know, they attempted to threaten him and cut his tongue. Abdurrahman bin Muljim. Ali radiallahu anhu tell him, don't mutilate. But they were testing him. He said, please, you can do anything, but don't cut my tongue, this Muljim was saying. They asked him why. He said, because not a second of my life must pass without dhikr. Allah, Allah. Here he kills the friend of Allah, the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and here he's saying that my tongue must not pass without the dhikr of Allah. What we learn, how dangerous it can be when we take religion and deen from the incorrect sources. How can we have the deen without the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala? That's why we have to be careful in regard to which aspect, where do we gain our deen? Go to our ulama, connect to the masjid, go out in the path of Allah, go to the khanqah, go to our madaris, go to the maktab, and gain our deen from our ulama heart to heart. Anything that confuses us in regards to the society and so forth, clarify it with our ulama, and keep our deen and our children's deen pure and pristine as it was handed over to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So as Ali radiallahu anhu was in this last conditions, he gave amazing advices to his children. Allahu Akbar. Come to Ali radiallahu anhu to ask him that who do we appoint after you? He said, you all make mashura and decide. He said, you should appoint. He said, no. Allah will guide you and Allah will choose what is best for you. So they asked him, should we appoint your son Hassan radiallahu anhu? So he said, that if you all make mashura and you'll come to this decision, then you're welcome to do so. And as Ali radiallahu anhu left this world, they made mashura and gave the bay'ah of Amir al-Mu'mineen to Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu. What a man he was, what a man he was. As he was taking bay'ah, you know, he said, take bay'ah from me that we will obey and follow the order of Allah in the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was a man of peace. And he ruled for a period of time, the last 6 months of the Khilafah Rashida. And it was Radiul Awwal where he saw the potential in this ummah. That this ummah's potential is in giving in. And he taught this ummah a great lesson.
that he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he learned from his father Ali radiallahu anhu, and he gave in. Certain followers of his said to him that, how can you give in? What a disgrace it will be. They actually tried to kill him, his own people. He says that you will be a disgrace. He said, rather disgrace than the fire of Jahannam. He says, look at this beautiful ummah. This ummah is united. He says, let me give in. And he fulfilled a prophecy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when Allah's Nabi looked at Hassan radiallahu anhu. And he said, look at this child of mine. لَعَلَّ إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُصْلِحُ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Look at this child of mine. Allah through him will unite this beautiful, this big ummah of mine. This big ummah of mine will be united through this child of mine. And through him, through his foresight, through his akhlaq, he handed over to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu then received bay'ah from the entire ummah without any exception. There was no doubt, there was no argument. Everyone in the entire length and the breadth of the lands of Islam took bay'ah to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And this year was known as Amul Jama'ah, where the entire ummah was united. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, made so much of efforts that deen spread in the four corners of the world and the ummah was united. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu showed his respects to Ali radiallahu anhu. There's an amazing report, look in the Hayat al-Sahaba, where one day Dirar bin Damra Kan'ani comes to visit Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says to him, please, Sifli Aliyan, describe Ali radiallahu anhu to me. O Dirar, describe Ali radiallahu anhu to me. So Dirar emotionally says that, Awa tu'afini ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, please pardon me. It's too emotional for me. So he says, no, you must. I must hear. Tell me about Ali radiallahu anhu. So he says, if I have to tell you, he was so farsighted. He was so strong. يَقُولُ فَصْلًا. His words were spaced. He would judge with justice. He was filled with knowledge. يَتَفَجَّرُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ جَوَانِبِ. He was filled with knowledge, that he would gush forth with knowledge. حِكْمَةٌ would emanate from every part of him. He would be have an aversion from this world and its embellishments. He would find comfort in the night and its darkness. And he would shed tears in the love of Allah. His thoughts were deep. He would always address himself, reminding himself. His clothes were simple. يُعْجِبُهُ مِنَ اللِّبَاسِ مَا قَصُرُ وَمِنَ الطَّعَامِ مَا جَشِبُ. His food was coarse. He was a humble, simple person. He would be like everyone. يُدْنِينَا إِذَا أَتَيْنَا. When we wanted to come by him, he would call us closer. If we asked him anything, he would respond to us. In spite of him allowing us to come so close to him, we would not utter anything out of awe for him. But when he would smile, it would be like pearls emanating from his beautiful mouth. He would love and respect the people of deen. He would love the poor. No one could win and emanate or draw any falsehood from him. And the weak would not give up on justice from him. He says, by Allah, I would see him at night, when the night had let down its curtains, and the stars were far away deep in the horizon. Ali radiallahu anhu would be grabbing his beard, crying to Allah, يَتَمَلْمَلُ تَمَلْمُلَ السَّلِيمُ, crying like one bitten by a snake, incessant crying, grieved. وَيَبْكِي بُكَاءَ الْحَزِينُ. I can remember and I can reminisce his crying right now. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana, يَتَبَرَّعُ إِلَيْهِ. Oh, our Rabb, oh, our Rabb, beseeching Allah. Then he would address the world saying, you're trying to entice me? You're trying to beautify yourself for me? Never, never. إِلَيَّ تَغَرَّرْتِ, إِلَيَّ تَشَوَّفْتِ. هَيْهَات, هَيْهَات. غُرِّي غَيْرِ. Deceive someone else. I have divorced you thrice. فَعُمْرُكِ قَصِيرٌ وَمَجْلِسُكِ حَقِيرٌ. Your span is short. Your sitting is despicable. Your status is low. مِنْ قِلَّةِ الزَّادِ. But my provision for this journey is too little. My journey is too far. And the road is difficult. And his tears would pour. And Ali, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, would listen to the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he would cry, and he would cry, and he would cry so much that he would fill his beard, and with his sleeves he would wipe off his face, and he would be crying that this was Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah. Oh Dirar, how you feel after the way he was killed? So Dirar rahimahullah says, I feel like that person whose only child was slaughtered on their chest. That mother cannot stop crying, and her grief can never be stopped. This is how I feel. Allahu Akbar. So we learn the love Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had for Ali radiallahu anhu. The way he asks to hear about the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu. This was the love between the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And inshallah we will discuss the advices he would give his son Hassan radiallahu anhu and further inshallah. As we call for all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.